This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The Texas foster care system is broken. So broken that the state has had its control of the system yanked away and placed in the hands of two court-appointed co-masters. Staff shortages, problematic placings, management, and worker turnovers. We've been talking about this for years, but now it seems like something's finally going to get done, but with the leadership of the state kicking and screaming, trying to prevent it. We're talking about pending reforms to the foster care system of Texas. We want to hear from you. What would you fix? What would you do to the foster care system to bring it up to code so that we're actually helping these children? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org, and you can tweet us at @tprsource. We're joined by Rick Cook in the studio, the CEO of CASA, Child Advocates of San Antonio. Rick, welcome to The Source.
Thank you, David. It's good to be here.
Robert Garrett is the Austin Bureau Chief for the Dallas Morning News, and he's in the KUT studios in Austin. Robert? And also with us is Sarah Botos. She is the Children's Rights Lead Counsel on this case. Sarah, hi. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having me.
So, Robert, let me ask you. You're the Bureau Chief at the Dallas Morning News covering the story. Been covering it a long time, I'm sure.
About 13 years.
Okay. Where do you see us finally in maybe in this arc?
Well, we are definitely now in the hands of a federal judge. The Attorney General Ken Paxton had tried to get the Fifth Circuit Court of U.S. Court of Appeals in New Orleans to stop this sort of level of judicial intervention. So far, no luck for Paxton. Full steam ahead for Judge Janice Graham Jack in Corpus Christi, and she listened to 2 weeks of testimony in December 2014, and I think it's fair to say she is horrified at the state of things in Texas foster care.
Sarah Botos with the Children's Rights, where are we in the process? Is this now settled hash, or can the state still continue appeals?
Well, the state certainly is in control of its own legal strategy, and there are appeals the state can pursue and take. But we're at a stage where Judge Jack is now appointed very knowledgeable, highly expert special masters to begin the process of building out a reform plan that's so badly needed for the foster care system in Texas. And it's high time for these children that reform gets underway. So we're very gratified that the request for a stay was denied and that we're in a position to see the reform begin to roll out.
So I just want to be clear, because Texas is saying this is more federal overreach. This is they think that they can fix this on their own, and the judge says no. You've got to we're going to put in these masters, and they're going to start making changes right away. But will the U.S. Supreme Court, will they go there, or will we move to a full trial of trying to see if what would happen next?
Well, it's up to the state to determine what its appellate strategy will be, and
okay. It
first would argue to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and where that may go in terms of the Supreme Court, time will tell. I'll tell you, though, the state has said for years we can get this done in terms of fixing the system, and plans have come and gone without the fixes that are required becoming reality, and kids are getting hurt day in, day out, kids that the state's supposed to be protecting. So it's high time for there to be an enforceable reform plan to make sure once and for all that promises of reform are promises that are kept. It's just that important for the kids.
Okay, so Rick Cook, you're the CEO of CASA, Child Advocates of San Antonio. You're not CPS. What you do is you try to advocate for the children. What do you see happening here?
Well, hopefully, you know, we're very glad that the suit has been brought. The foster care system in Texas has been broken for many, many years. There have been a number of attempts to correct the problems, to redesign. There's been a foster care redesign. And unfortunately, all these attempts have failed. I don't know that federal intervention is the answer, but I do know what we've done in the past is not the answer. These kids are leaving the foster care system. They're leaving in worse shape than they came in. It's not an isolated situation. It's just a very, very serious concern what these kids are going through.
Bob Garrett, we're hearing that the kids are coming out of the system in worse shape than when they're coming in. Tell me what's been reported. What have y'all seen?
Well, I think the named plaintiffs, these were children who were identified only by their initials in the lawsuit, which is styled MD versus Abbott, MD being the initials of one of the dozen or so, nine, I think it was, children. They represent a class of a subset of all the Texas foster children, and these are the ones that have been in the system the longest. They've all been in at least a year to a year and a half. That's the trigger point where if attempts by CPS to get a kid reunified or get a kid adopted have failed, they become a permanent managing conservators of the kid. So these are 12,000 kids in permanent managing conservatorship. And all of the ones that were the nine identified ones in the lawsuit had horrible things happened to them. Some had already aged out. By age out, we mean they turn 18. They're, adults, putatively. But, they just many, many problems, physical abuse, sexual abuse while they're in foster care, and coming out with greater psychological baggage than when they went in, if that's possible. So it is a very bleak depiction. Admittedly, these are, cherry-picked examples that the plaintiff's lawyers wanted to put on the most dramatic case they could. But we know from all available studies that foster care is not working as well as it should be and is intended to be.
And, Bob, so what do we know about these special masters?
Well, we know Kevin Ryan ran New Jersey's Child Welfare Agency. He has been not a special master in per se, but he's been involved in a leading role in three other states where there have been these class action suits over foster care. He's been court appointed, playing a role in trying to get the states to do right by these kids. So he knows the system. The other co-special master is a veteran, a Duke Law professor, Francis McGovern, and he has not been involved in child welfare. However, he is perhaps the nation's leading expert and most experienced special master in all kinds of class action lawsuits other than those involving foster care, everything from asbestos to oil spills to defective products, on and on and on. And he was recommended, nominated by the plaintiff lawyers as someone who would match up with someone who was in state who runs a nonprofit in Austin called Texas Appleseed. But Judge Jack decided to pair the expert.
All right, Bob, I got to take a quick break. We'll continue the conversation when we come back. This is The Source on KSTX. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The foster care system of Texas has been declared broken by a judge. She says its state needs to fix it. However, Texas has been unwilling to take up the challenge to repair the system of long-term care for abused and neglected children. But the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals says, Texas, get over it and get on with it. They want to see reforms starting to take place now. And two special co-masters have been put in place to get things done. We're talking about the foster care program. How would you fix it? What do you see? What can be done to shore up this broken system? The number to call is 210-614-8980. With us is Rick Cook of CASA, Bob Garrett, the Austin Bureau Chief for the Dallas Morning News. He's been covering this, and he's in the KUT studios in Austin, and Sarah Botos, she's with Children's Rights, the lead counsel on this case. I'm going to get a caller in on this, and Dorothy. Hi, Dorothy. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. What I'd like to see is for them to hire competent social workers. A lot of them are not doing their jobs. I know of a case personally This lady has had one child for over a year. The mother had a second baby that was born crack addicted. And every time you turn around, they're placing those two kids back with the mother. She has not changed. So why are they sending that mother back, those kids back to that mother? And here's a woman that loves these kids and does an excellent job. In fact, she's even adopted another child already that she kept from the time it was 2 months old, and it's now over 2 years old. But what can we do about that?
Dorothy, thank you for your call. Thanks for your observations. Let me ask you about that, Rick Cook over at CASA, Child Advocates of San Antonio. You hear Dorothy's story. A lot of complexities, a lot of people who in need of help, and then the state is what? Were they responsible for what and trying to achieve what?
Well, you're absolutely right. It's an incredibly complex question. I don't really have an answer for Dorothy. I'm sure that there's a lot of details.
And we can't get into individual cases.
Yeah.
But we can see from her story, I mean, there's a million people just like that out there, or thousands of folks.
Thousands of kids, absolutely. And I think that what people need to realize, of the 12,000 PMC, Permanent Managing Conservatorship kids, in the state of Texas, they're in a foster care system. They're being moved continually. We know every time a child is moved, that sets them back 6 months in their education. They lose their friends. They lose, their environment. They lose everything they know. We run into kids that have been in the system for a number of years that are moved 5 times a year, 6 times a year, 8 times a year, 21 times in 10 years. And they're going from foster home to foster home, group home to group home, and they're getting no stability in their lives. And this is tragic.
Sarah Botos at the Children's Rights, you're the lead counsel on this case. One of the criticisms that we got from Judge Jack about the way that the foster care system is being run is so much turnover, not just with the caseworkers, but also with the leadership. Has that been your observation?
Absolutely, and this speaks to the caller's question on turnover. These caseworkers have been buried with caseload sizes that no one can reasonably manage, and they burn out and they leave. And there's a revolving door of caseworkers. And this deprives children in the foster care system of a relationship with the key person assigned by the state to care for that child, to assure safety and protection. Until the caseloads are brought to manageable levels, and that's a targeted piece of this reform and this lawsuit, the state simply cannot expect the workers to be able to keep up, and bad things are going to happen to kids and have been happening to kids. And yes, there also needs to be stable leadership. Over the last decade or thereabouts, there's been 6, 7 different commissioners of this agency. And so one of the real optimistic things about getting court-enforceable reform in place is you get a plan that is a backbone, it is consistent, it is enforceable, and we can stay the course and get this job done once and for all without having the turnover of leadership and new plans, new direction. Let's make a plan that makes sense for Texas, is informed by the stakeholders in the system within Texas who understand how to turn this around, and with court oversight and with these excellent special masters, here's an opportunity to once and for all fix the fundamentals of the system so the kids get a fair shake.
Bob Garrett at the Austin Bureau Chief for Dallas Morning News, Judge Specia, he has been the head of the system for a while. He was appointed, a lot of hoopla, a lot of hope, thinking he was finally going to get things fixed. He's retiring in May, so more turnover.
That's right. And the assistant commissioner over CPS, Lisa Black, just hung up her hat. So new faces coming in, a longtime aide to Governor Greg Abbott, is temporarily doing the Lisa Black job as assistant commissioner over CPS. Don't know who is going to replace Judge Specia. And all of this happening while we have these two special masters getting their feet on the ground, coming up in 6 months with a plan for Judge Jack, a detailed plan for what she will order the state to do, how many caseworkers for foster care kids to hire, how many, how to improve investigations, how to improve all the electronic case files. And all of that is the department, of course, it is just, on the runway to another legislative session, which is always a stressful time devising their budgets and whatnot. So we have a department which is leaderless going into unknown territory in a lawsuit and a maybe tightening budget situation in the next legislative session. It's really a dramatic time to be a CPS worker.
So, but as you said, Governor Abbott, he appointed the new head of Child Protective Services on an interim basis, Charles Smith. I guess he's kind of become Abbott's fixer, but he's still involved with trying to run the Medicaid and health policy part of it as well. I mean, he's not even really dedicating himself to fixing this system or operating this system. So that's a lot to put on someone's plate.
It is, and even though he ran the Child Support Division at the Attorney General's office for many years, a decade or more under Greg Abbott, that's a very different thing from Child Protective Services. So he has a steep learning curve, and presumably he will delegate some, but he does have the governor's confidence, which obviously counts for a lot.
Back to the phone lines, 210-614-8980 to call in, like Oscar. Hi, Oscar. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
I'm an attorney, and I do a lot of work in CPS courts here in San Antonio. And I think the big white elephant in the room was just hit on. It's the budget. The two areas that need improvement are the vetting of foster care placement, initially where the children go, and then the monitoring of how these children are doing afterwards. And the simple solution is that you have to have enough people with enough support to do the job well. And even when the federal judge is going to implement a plan and give us numbers, you're going to have a legislature which is entirely pro-life until it's time to pay for those babies.
Okay, Oscar, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. I'm going to go ahead and swing to another caller really quick, move things along. Amy, hi, Amy. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, yes. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I had a question for you and the other two on the air. I was previously a foster care parent who actually saw reunification with both of my foster children with their parents. However, before they came to stay with me, they were moved around a lot. And me and my husband, we always thought that a good idea would be to go back to an old kind of communal style living for the children, where they were placed in sort of an orphanage style environment so that they had a place where they could stay consistently. And then eventually, as they age out of the foster care system, have like a family type environment they could come back to. I was curious if that's something that you could see as plausible in this day and age, or something that's happening already with group homes. That's pretty much it.
Okay, Amy, thank you for the call. Texas does have a horrible legacy with that type of care with the Waco State Home. But if you work out the bugs in that, Sarah Bartos, is that something that is you're looking for?
Well, the all social work studies research into how to raise a child so that the child develops at the appropriate pace and thrives. All that research shows that children thrive best in a family home environment, in the intimacy of a family home. And so the first and foremost goal in placing a child who's been removed into foster care is to get them into a family setting. And the federal government very much stresses that. That's the understanding amongst experts. There are situations where group or congregate care can be appropriate, where there's children who have needs that require more of a therapeutic sort of setting, and those should be children who are assessed for that and placed in those settings as needed. But really, the preference is recruit enough quality family homes with foster parents who are ready to put in the time to care, support, love these kids, and that's where kids are going to get the best shake in foster care.
Another caller, Cynthia, is on the line. Hi, Cynthia. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Cynthia Collins, and I was a CASA advocate for a couple of years, which is an amazing organization. My problem really came down to the children's attorney, and I think there is a problem there with some of the public defendants for these kids. It is my understanding that in between each court date that their attorney is supposed to talk to the kids. My kids' attorney met them one time for about 5 minutes right before we went into court, and then never saw them again, and there were at least four other court dates. He repeatedly lied in his report and in court that he had seen them. I know for a fact he never did. I had investigated it thoroughly. I told the judge nothing was ever done, and so I just wonder how many you know, lawyers are out there that don't really care about the kids. I mean, what kind of quality advocates are we having for, you know, for these kids? And luckily for us, he listened to the CASA report and he did everything that we suggested. But what happens to the kids that don't have a CASA advocate?
Cynthia, thank you for your call. So let me get over to Rick Cook. He's the CEO of CASA. Was that an outlier of a story, or does that happen all too often?
It does happen all too often, and I know in Bexar County, for example, there is a court redesign going on that's taking a hard look at the involvement of attorneys with our kids. But certainly having a CASA volunteer like Cynthia gives us, we have minimum requirements for seeing the kids. We know they're being seen. We know for the most part that they're being taken care of and where they stand in the foster care system, and we're able to give a voice to them in as part of the legal system. I think most of the attorneys that are involved in these cases do a good job, like any profession, not all of them. And I know that's been a concern in Bexar County, and I think it's not there yet, but it's improving.
Real quickly, Sarah, what do you think is going to be the outcome? What are you hoping the reforms will be?
Well, we're targeting fundamentals in the system. That's what the lawsuit focused on. Fundamental structures that aren't in place, and until they are, you just can't expect good, consistent outcomes for kids. And so, one, we want to see a well-trained, stable caseworker workforce in the department. And to do that, this department's got to start managing the caseload and assigning only that amount of work that allows a social worker to do what they're being paid to do, be with families, be with children, and support them and get them the services they need. So
okay. Sarah Botos is the Children's Rights Lead Counsel in this case. We're also been joined by Bob Garrett, the Austin Bureau Chief, Dallas Morning News. He was at the KUT studios. In the studio, Rick Cook, CEO of CASA, Child Advocates of San Antonio. Source continues after this break.